Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It.
Pop pass up the middle. Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15, 10. Hit in. For an Oilers touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In oh, to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica Road, heard 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing, ESPN app, all great ways to take in the program for sure, but there are other ways. Some may argue there are better ways. There are enhanced ways, upgraded ways, 2.0 ways to take in the program. And here is how you do that, folks. You go to QSportsTalk.com. At QSportsTalk.com, you can watch a radio program as it happens and all the magic contained within. You can chat throughout the show. Don't have to. Now, if you want to call 437-7644, get a take on the radio, get it out there. We'd love to hear from you, the old-fashioned way, if you will. Some people prefer that. Great. We enjoy that. We enjoy that interaction that's there for you. But if you want to opine as much as you'd like through the course of the show, and you know, you don't even have to talk about what I'm talking about, right? Like, I can't stop you. You want to get in there and talk about microphysics for all I care. That's what the chat is there for. Now, we appreciate that most of the time people kind of go along with what's happening on the show, talk sports. But hey, things come up, conversations, sidebars. When the radio audience goes to commercial break, we keep the mics on and chat with our friends at QSportsTalk.com in the chat. So it's all happening there, too. However you're taking on the show today, if you're listening on the radio, if you're watching and participating at QSportsTalk.com, either way is appreciated by us. It is a game day for Syracuse basketball as they are in Miami to take on the Hurricanes. We have a couple of guests that will come on today to discuss that and all things, not only college basketball, but ACC basketball in particular. Right here in this hour, old friend of ours, used to write for the DO, Syracuse grad, now with the Miami Herald, David Wilson is going to join the program and covers the Miami sports scene. Look, the Canes are, I would say, strangely not ranked. I would say a team that if they kind of stay on this course could make some noise in the ACC. It would certainly be a big win for Syracuse in some ways, maybe not as big as you would think in others, but a needed win for Syracuse one way or the other. But, man, what's up with this Hurricanes team and the impact that they have had? They're the hottest team in the ACC as we speak, so we'll get a Miami perspective on this Hurricanes team that Syracuse will face tonight, 8 o'clock tip time in this matchup with David Wilson, used to write for the DO, Syracuse grad, and a good dude who will join us. So right here in this hour, about 15 minutes as well. Hour number two from the award-winning Packer and Durham program, ACC Network, ACC Network play-by-play man, voice of the Atlanta Falcons, overall terrific dude, and always enjoy going on his program and always appreciate it when he comes on ours. Wes Durham is going to join us, and I want to get Wes's perspective on a number of things, including what the heck's up with the ACC this year. I mean, right now, it's January 5th, but as we speak, this is a league that is really going to struggle to get the amount of teams in the NCAA tournament that you would expect the ACC to get in, right? It's like four at this point with a few knocking on the door. So what can those teams knocking on the door to do, Miami being one of them, by the way, to get in the conversation. We'll talk a little football with Wes, too, kind of wrap up a crazy offseason, what he thinks about what's happening at Syracuse, Robert Anae and Jason Beck being hired to the Syracuse football staff. I'm sure Wes has some thoughts on all that, and always great to catch up with one of the great voices of ACC sports, Wes Durham. He will join us at 5:20 on the program. So all that happening. We'll do some hot takes. We'll talk about hot takes. Oh, baby, scorcher from an MVP voter about why he will not vote Aaron Rodgers for MVP. That was on our old friend Danny Parkins, does a radio program in Chicago now. And it was said on that show, and boy, did that start a firestorm. And boy, did Aaron Rodgers respond today. And it brings up a conversation about what exactly we in the media should be doing. Should we be voting for these kind of awards, right? And that conversation and where it goes. And if you don't put specific guidelines on these things, it leaves it way open to interpretation. And should the reasoning, I mean, it's his vote, he can do what he wants with it, but is the reasoning good enough to not vote Aaron Rodgers MVP? I mean, you've really got to separate personal from professional. You've got to separate on the field from off the field. And let's just say this gentleman's not doing that. So we will get into that during hot takes. And Tommy will join us once again. I swear we'll be better technically. I don't know if I'll be singing any more television theme songs on the show. I don't know if you missed yesterday. This is why The Blind Side could take us any direction. But not only was I asked by Tommy, who joined us from Protocol, what my favorite television theme song was, a subject I happen to be very passionate about. I even sang it for the people. And Tommy put together a really funny video, which you can find on the Q Sports Talk Twitter feed, matching up the graphics of the Growing Pains theme song, which was my choice, with my okay version of the Growing Pains theme song. So we'll see what Tommy's got up his sleeve. He'll join us from Protocol and do The Blind Side with us coming up. But, of course, we start with Syracuse basketball. We start with what I think can be an opportunity for this team tonight in Miami. It's easy to focus on what's wrong with this team. It's easy to focus on the defense, which has been described by the head coach as a disgrace, and some of the numbers working against Syracuse and some of the trends working against Syracuse. And, look, this is a team that's straddling the 500 line, maybe getting away from it all, if you will, is what this team needs. Now, an interesting note on this is Syracuse is actually going to go right from Miami to Wake Forest. They're not coming home in between because they play Miami tonight. They play Wake Forest Saturday at 2 o'clock. It's winter break, so nobody's in class or anything at this point. So they're just going to kind of stay on the road for a few days. And, man, sometimes when you're kind of feeling the pressure of what's right, what's wrong, what's happening, getting away from things can really help. That remains to be seen. If getting away helps this team kind of just focus on basketball, focus on their flaws, and try and exploit their strengths. But that's what I'm kind of focused on here. Now, anything can happen when they get out there, as tends to happen with this defense. Average offensive teams become good offensive teams. Good offensive teams become great offensive teams. And up the ladder it goes. Well, Miami's a really good offensive team. We'll get more into the specifics and kind of break down who they are with David coming up and later in the show. But bottom line, this team can score. They have the reigning ACC player of the week, and they're going to be a problem for Syracuse. Syracuse's best weapon all along is going to be to score, to fight fire with fire. This is the kind of game that sets up to be exactly that, a kind of no excuses, this is your strength, this is what you need to do type of basketball game. Because not only does Miami not defend well, Miami doesn't rebound well either. Now, Syracuse, again, tends to up some of the weaknesses and highlight some of the weaknesses of some teams that you look on the surface, you look at the numbers, and you say, well, they're not so good at that. Virginia is a good example of this. Virginia came into their matchup with Syracuse on Saturday. Now, we knew they went at a slow pace. They're one of the slowest teams in the country and some of the things they typically do, but they weren't scoring at a high clip. But given Syracuse's defensive issues, given Tony Bennett and how smart he is. And I'm wondering what Jim Larrañaga is going to do tonight, because he's got some players that can be some real zone busters. But again, I'm expecting that. I'm expecting this game, and watch, this comes out of my mouth and it's going to be like a 62-60 grinder. But this is really setting up to be a shootout. This is setting up to be a back-and-forth, tit-for-tat, offensive type of game. And Syracuse is at the point where they're just not making stops at all. So if they do that, think about this for a second. I'm talking about a Syracuse team that rests on the foundation of the 2-3 zone defense. But the reality of the situation for this team in the moment they're in is that if they make stops, it's a bonus. If they make stops, it's gravy. If they make stops, it's one of those, hey, we'll take it. You cannot factor it in. You cannot plan for it, because they simply don't do it. They don't do it enough at a rate that, you know, when you're going in the flow of a game, it's like, well, they got to make a stop here. They don't do that. If they do, great. It's a bonus. This is about offense. This is about fighting fire with fire. And the rebounding thing is what's intriguing to me. Syracuse actually out-rebounded Virginia. And typically when Syracuse out-rebounds a team, that's really good news, because it's hard for Syracuse to do that. But Virginia was so efficient, particularly in the second half, scoring, and Syracuse couldn't make any stops on defense, that it countered that. Well, Miami is not a team that rebounds well. On the offensive end, the defensive end, they're not particularly well ranked defensively, though, again, these things tend to jump up a little bit, just to put that in perspective. But look, they're coming in here into this game tonight. Let me pull up the number here just to give you a little perspective on it. Now, offensively, they're the most efficient offense in the ACC. Rebounding, they're 14th and 15th offensive and defensive rebounding, respectively, in the ACC. Their defense gives up 72 points per game. That's 13th in the ACC. Their three-point defense ranks 291st in the country. Teams make about 36% of their three-point shots against Miami. Now, where Miami counters this, and what Syracuse absolutely has to take advantage of, is Miami does not turn the ball over. So you have got to take advantage of your possessions. They are gold. Don't throw the ball away. Don't, and I'm looking at you, Joe Girard, right? This is not a team that you can come down and do the, let me ISO dribble for 12, 13 seconds and just waste a possession type of team, because they're not going to give you a lot of turnovers back. But when you're facing a team that doesn't rebound well, and you're facing a team that struggles to defend the three, it's as simple as that. Look, Buddy Boeheim is finding ways around double teams. He's going to get doubled again tonight, but man, he managed to run around like a chicken with his head cut off and score 27 points against Virginia, a good defensive team, a better defensive team than this, right? So you need Buddy on game. You need Girard to come in and be much better than he was offensively against Virginia. 3 points, 1 of 5 shooting. Take what the defense gives you, and this defense gives you a lot. This is a no-excuses kind of game for Cole Swider. Cole is going to get open looks. He had open looks against Virginia. They weren't dropping. He was 3 of 12 in that game. He was 2 of 8 from three-point range. He has got to have a better percentage than he had a game ago. Jimmy Boeheim, I don't look. What Jimmy Boeheim gives you from the three-point line, even though percentage-wise he's one of the best three-point shooters on the team, you take it. He's a threat. He can hit those shots. Do you incorporate him into the offense and count on him to hit the threes? Look, if Miami's giving it to him, and this defense in general does that, great. I think you need a lot more offensively from Jesse Edwards tonight, too. I think you need more set plays for Jesse Edwards. I think Miami's not coming in with that mentality. I think Miami's coming in so focused on these shooters and keeping Syracuse off the three-point line, even though they're not a good defensive team, that Jesse's a guy that can really, if you emphasize it and you start throwing the ball in the middle and you run some plays for this guy. I mean, Jimmy Boeheim always scores first, and if you want to put him in that conversation, great. This is what's going to get those shooters open, because off that, Miami's going to be aware of them, and they're going to try and, as best they can, given their inefficiency on defense, to make their lives a little harder shooting the ball from three-point range. So what Syracuse can't get wrapped up in tonight is what they're doing wrong, because Miami is a team that, yeah, can exploit the defense, but they've got their own flaws. Miami's playing well right now. They've got the reigning player of the week in the ACC, as we mentioned, in Cameron McGusty. Isaiah Wong, just he's fun to watch, if anything, because he just finds ways to score. Like, you watch this guy, and he just, at the end of the night, he ends up with like 18, 20 points. And you're like, how did he do that? Charlie Moore is dishing out about 4 assists per game. We mentioned that assist-to-turnover ratio that is tight, which is really good for Miami. He's the main reason why. I got some players. Jim Larrañaga has really built something here in an ACC that's wide open, and Miami could be one of those teams that comes out of nowhere and is right there in the conversation at the top of the league. Not that I think they can win the league. It's Duke's league to lose at this point, as we'll talk about with West Durham later in the show. But it's an opportunity for Syracuse to gain some confidence. It's not a huge gain in the net rankings. Miami is currently, what, 95th, I believe, in the net ranking. It's not like a top 50, top 60 win, but it's a win you need. And then Wake Forest on Saturday, a lot of what we're talking about here applies to them too. But they are a juicy mid-50s net ranking right now, a elusive quad one opportunity over the horizon. But it starts tonight against this Miami team. And we will talk about that Miami team and Miami sports with David Wilson from the Miami Herald, a DO writer, Syracuse alum, and a friend who is roaming in the Miami area and can give us a perspective about where this Hurricanes team came from, where they expected to be this good, and kind of what else Syracuse has to look out for tonight. 437-7644, the phone number, Brentax Media on Twitter, and you can opine in the chat as well at QSportsTalk.com. Let's get our Lee Baldwin update here on a Wednesday. See how the market got over the hump today. And our friend Bill from Lee Baldwin & Company is here to do that. Bill, how are you, sir?
Good. Better than the market. We started off on the plus side, but then in the afternoon, the Federal Reserve put out some hawkish comments about raising rates sooner than later. Rates went up, the market went down, so Lee went running.
Exactly. And, that's what happens when the market's down, exactly.
Yeah. And the Dow fell 392 points, or 1%, first down day for the year. Tech stocks really took it on the chin. Down, NASDAQ fell 500 points, or 3%. Dog today's Salesforce, that is a cloud computing software firm, fell 8% on concerns of slowing growth. But there were some upside stocks. The old boring blue chip value stocks like AT&T was up 2% on their HBO Max is doing pretty well, but thanks to Sex and the City and The Matrix. And that's it today.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it, sir. We will talk to you again soon. That is Bill from Lee Baldwin & Company. You can find it at LeeBaldwin.com and can find in Kaz and Utica for all the diamonds and none of the dogs on your portfolio. Before we do take a break, I do need to note some breaking news that is out there and is now confirmed public. I had heard this was the case and could possibly come out while we're on the air, and it is now official out there. Sad news to report in that former Syracuse football head coach Greg Robinson has passed away. He died in California, and that is according to his son Dominic. Greg Robinson was 70 years old. Chris Carlson writing this on Syracuse.com. Dominic confirming that his father passed away from a form of Alzheimer's disease. So some sad news to report there, and certainly, you know, the Greg Robinson era at Syracuse, you know, one of the down years of Syracuse in his 4 years here, 10-37, and obviously Syracuse fans look back on that in terms of what happened on the field and, you know, just one of those eras that Syracuse is still recovering from. But, you know, as a person, you know, somebody that we dealt with, of course, and knew Greg, and a lot of people just that's what they would say, even though the football team unfortunately was not successful when Greg was the coach here. What a terrific person he was. And boy, that's to hear that today is that'll hit you right in the gut. On the same day, by the way, we had heard our condolences also go out to the family and friends of Donnie Baseball, Don Johnson, just one of those faces that isn't been in press boxes and around Syracuse sports for so long. We got the news today that he had passed away as well. So two notable figures in recent times in Syracuse sports, we got the news, have passed away. So we certainly pass along our condolences and our thoughts and prayers to their friends and family today. I will break on that and come back. Stay right there.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back. You're On the Block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com, presented by our friends at Del Lago. Coming to the Vine Showroom at Del Lago. Great show later this month, Fuel. That's on Friday, January 28th at 8 p.m. You know them from their hits Hemorrhage, Falls on Me, so much more. You don't want to miss that epic night and the region's number one entertainment destination. You can get your ticket to the show now and check out all the other shows coming to the Vine Showroom, including some great comedians on the way. Ronnie Chang from Crazy Rich Asians, Joe Gatto of Impractical Jokers, The Soul Rebels, The Mob Story of Michael Franzese, and much more on the way. DelLagoResort.com is the website to check out all of the shows, which, a reminder, you must be 21 or older to purchase tickets and attend shows at The Vine at Del Lago. So we got Syracuse-Miami coming up tonight, 8 o'clock tip time there. We will continue to break down that game a little bit here. Wes Durham's going to join us this hour from the ACC Network and kind of figure out what the heck's going on the ACC this year, basketball-wise. A couple of football notes in there from Wes as well. Curious what he thinks about how Dino Babers has restructured the Syracuse football staff. And as noted, if you haven't heard and just joining us, some sad news out there today. Two sad notes on the local sports scene that we should know. One being Donnie Baseball passed away. Don Johnson, if you're not familiar with Donnie, just one of those guys that, you know, whether it was the Syracuse Chiefs at the time, now the Syracuse Mets, the Syracuse Crunch. I mean, Donnie's just one of the, you would see him at local games and working in press boxes at local games. And I know a lot of my media colleagues are really sad to hear the news of Donnie Baseball passing away, because he was such an asset to us, would help us out. He'd walk in a press box. And I knew him best from working. I was the PA announcer for the Syracuse Chiefs for 4 years. And Donnie loved baseball. I mean, he was... he knew and could tell you all kinds of things about all kinds of sports, but baseball was his love. And he'd walk in the press box and there'd be Donnie Baseball. Hey, how you doing? And smile on his face. What can I do to help you? Always checking in. Just one of those guys that would bend over backwards to do whatever he could to help you. And we're going to miss him. And certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to, and there's a lot of people that knew and loved Donnie Baseball out there. And the other significant local sports news that we learned today on a sad note is that former Syracuse football head coach Greg Robinson has passed away at the age of 70 years old. His son Dominic confirming to Chris Carlson of Syracuse.com that he had Alzheimer's disease and passed away as a result of that at the age of 70 years old. The former football coach here, 2005 to 2008, and certainly we are reflecting on that and send our thoughts and prayers out to his family and those that knew and loved him. And a lot of people are still at Syracuse University that still work at SU and knew Greg and loved Greg, even though, you know, there's no question the results on the field, they speak for themselves. It was one of the worst eras of Syracuse football. The record wasn't there. It didn't work out from that front, but we know that Greg's family loved the community, loved it here. Served the community well and really embraced being a part of the Central New York community, even though things on the field didn't go the way they could. Scooter in Jamesville wanted to discuss that, as a matter of fact, amongst a couple other things, as we hit the phones at 437-7644. What's up, Scoot?
Yeah, you're right. It's sad to hear anybody pass away, especially from that debilitating disease. And I went through it with both my parents. One parent's already passed away from a disease sort of like that. My mother's going through Parkinson's, so my heart goes out to the family. His problem right off the bat, and unfortunately, I don't know why, but it was actually hiring the offensive coordinator with Brian Perriani. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
Who had no experience whatsoever, a tight end coach for Denver, and you're bringing in a head coach that has no coaching experience, period. Sounds like Paul Pasqualoni all over again. And he's a defensive guy, and our problem was the offense. And that just didn't, you know, just he got off to a tough start right there because obviously he had to put the put the reins in somebody that had no experience whatsoever. And that didn't help too much right there. And it just didn't get off right. And I remember, to be honest with you, I remember that one of the top Jim Boeheim press conferences was when he went after you for actually, yeah. If you remember that one.
I thought that should be one
of the top 10 press conferences when they're going over some of Coach Boeheim's top 10. I remember that one from the start.
Well, not only that, at the presser, I was working at a different radio station at the time, and this is right after Pasqualoni had been fired, and Jim came in studio with me. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This was back on the old Sports Monster back in the day, and boy, that interview. He was in studio for an hour, and irony is, we didn't even talk basketball. This whole back and forth and tit for tat that we were going at the time in 2004. When Pasqualoni was fired, was all about that and our opinions about that, and it was a back and forth. And he ended up coming in studio for an hour, and I said my piece, he said his piece. We didn't necessarily agree on our stances. We agreed to disagree, but I guess did it respectfully that day. And that was a big thing at the time. Like, there was news stations with the cameras at the radio station. I remember we had to put newspaper on the little window in the door because everybody was coming by, like trying to sneak a peek, like, what's going to happen? My poor mother was going to have a heart attack because she's like, oh my God, Jim Boeheim is going after my son. But that's the thing. You brought it up, Scoot. Of all the disagreements I've had with Coach Boeheim, the biggest one we ever had was about football. It wasn't even about anything that had to do with his team.
I know. I just remember the press conference after a basketball game. I think it was 5 minutes. There's the dissertation, and he was actually looking right at you for those 5 minutes. And that's what I remember. But it's a shame, the thing was, is that we needed somebody with experience, and also he had no contacts with high school recruiting around here. And that was the big thing I kept hearing, when Doug Marrone came in, he had contacts with the Long Island people. And even though he came from the pros, he actually still maintained contacts because this was supposed to be his dream job. And he was hoping one time he'll get there. And so it was just, unfortunately, it was a train wreck from the start. You mentioned it, hired somebody at the end of December. And then the staff was nobody, very, very little coaching experience at the college level.
Look.
And it's just, I kept hearing you guys talk about how he's going to bring in guys from the Denver Broncos to be like little coaches, like coming in for a week and talking to people. Well, that's great. I don't remember when Bill Walsh went back to Stanford and he tried to coach Stanford after coaching the 49ers. And he brought in people that came in from the 49ers that have three or four Super Bowl rings. It didn't work out.
No, it didn't. Yeah. Yeah, they had to try something different at the time, and he had a reputation. He was recommended by Pete Carroll. There was a lot of things that lined up, but you quickly discovered, like you said, you bring in coaches that, look, college sports to this day is about relationships. As you said, Scoo, you got to know those high school coaches. You got to know where to find the players. You got to have those relationships, right? And that coaching staff just didn't have any of that. You had a bunch of guys coming in from different places, the West Coast, and just had no pipeline. And thanks for the call, as always, Scoo. Whereas right before that, of course, Paul Pasqualoni had been here since 1991, knew every high school coach, would walk in the state of New Jersey. They bring donuts to the high school coaches, knew them by name. They would coach and bring them into their camps in the summer. And, you had a new approach, and it just obviously the results speak for themselves. It didn't work. You had to try something different with a different era, new athletic director, new chancellor, just whole different era of Syracuse football, and the results kind of speak for themselves, unfortunately, there. But certainly doesn't take away from the type of person Greg was, his family, very dedicated to the community, literally served the community, and it's too bad it didn't work out in that realm because they were really good people, no question about it. But football-wise, it's in a lot of ways, Syracuse football still recovering from that. And it just goes to show, just looking at it objectively, if you make the wrong choice, a place like Syracuse, which, look, this is not Alabama or Clemson or a high-level program where you can just kind of cycle through coaches, pay somebody off, bring in the next staff, and go. Like, it takes you longer to recover from a downtime. And that was as down as it gets for Syracuse football. The College game day thing, the little engine that could speech, and you know, some of the things that went awry in the Robinson era. But it's still sad to hear that. And it's just interesting to reflect on that and the process and what people learned from that time. And here in 2022, as we go into what is going to be Dino Babers' seventh year, as the head coach at Syracuse football, and you know, dealing with name, image, and likeness, dealing with the transfer portal, dealing with, you know, competing with Clemson in this division that you're in, and all the challenges that are still there for the Syracuse head football coach in 2022 that were there when Robinson walked in the door in 2005. You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same in a lot of ways. Stephen North, Syracuse, next with us here on the block. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in with a tribute to Greg Robinson. He's taken a lot of abuse from us, but he was always a decent guy, and he always seemed to have a soft manner and a confident smile on his face. I called into his coach's show many times, and he always gave good answers and was very polite. As you mentioned, he was involved in the community and liked being here. The story I've heard of how Pasqualoni was fired was that Gross was not about to fire him, but after the bowl game, he was ordered to fire him. And that created a situation, as you mentioned, where if you fire somebody after a bowl game, you're going to get the dregs of who's available. Correct. As far as the coaching staff. And I think that kind of undermined a lot of what he was trying to do. But still, I had respect for the guy, and I'm very sorry to see him go. One of the three best times in recent years to be a Syracuse football fan, at least the best springs and summers, were anticipating the Greg Robinson era, which I thought was going to be great, because here's a guy with two Super Bowl rings who came here, anticipating the Dino Babers era, because he's had such success at his previous two stops, and right now, because I'm anticipating that the new offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach they brought in will make a big difference for the team. So when I remember Greg Robinson, I'll remember that spring and that summer before the games actually started.
Steve, great thoughts as always. Appreciate you reflecting on that. And, you know, it was a different time and a different era. And we mentioned, you know, essentially it wasn't after that bowl game. It was during that bowl game. And here's Darryl Gross on the job for 5 minutes. Now, he was giving that football program a fresh look and a fresh analysis. But to hire a coach on, what was that, December 29th, that bowl game was, like, you're a month into it. You've already missed out on a lot of the bigger names and people that could have made an impact, especially at Syracuse, right? So it's really a lesson, and by the way, I put myself squarely in this category. That's why I'm always a lot more careful about calling for coaching changes, because be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. But you kind of brush aside some of the things that you should be thinking about when you want that change, because you're trusting the people in charge to make the change the right way. From the press conference that Nancy Cantor had, that we're bringing back Coach Pasqualoni, but a new athletic director can make their own decision. You go another 3 weeks. Now, Syracuse got creamed in that bowl game. The results on the field were going downhill. But think about that. Pasqualoni gets fired, and I understand you say the name – pardon me, you say the name Ray Rice now, and it takes on a whole different context, but he was a major recruit, stayed in New Jersey, one of the best college running backs out there, committed to Syracuse, did not come to Syracuse because Pasqualoni was fired, right? And kind of what rolls down that hill after you don't get certain players and a different approach, and it's just, you can look at the results, you can ask for change, but as I say now, and those lessons that come from that, and some people were saying this about Dino Babers last year, and we've gone through a few coaching changes since. That's great if you want change, but what's your plan? Who are you bringing in? What's the plan to replace them? And the who is the most important thing. So that's a big lesson from that, you know, and that's certainly no offense to Greg. It didn't work out. He got his opportunity, and you know, Syracuse is a hard place to win, and there's just a lot of decisions made that, you know, sent that snowball rolling down the hill But you're going to make a change. You're going to make a change in a place like Syracuse. You better have a really, really good plan to make that change and not just make it because you feel like you have to. All right, let's break on that note. I appreciate those stories and those thoughts from everybody out there. We're going to change gears a little bit. Wes Durham is going to join us next. We'll talk a little bit about what the heck is going on in the ACC this year. Now, a lot of ACC basketball to be played, and maybe a few teams emerge from the pack here to give this conference some more tournament-ready teams. But as it stands right now, the ACC going through a tough stretch here. I want to get Wes's thoughts on that and more when we come back. Stay right there.